Hello and welcome to Swiss Info's programme. I'm Jo Fay. Drivers travelling on one-way, windy mountain roads in Switzerland will know that sound. It's the post bus, warning them to pull over and let it pass. For decades, the Hallmark Yellow Bus has transported passengers and posts to hard-to-reach corners of Switzerland. The drivers are experts at managing the tricky roads over mountain passes. The newest post bus, or Carpostal in French, won't have a driver at all. It's all part of a project to test the first driverless buses in Switzerland on the streets of the town of Sion.
So, for the moment, we have two of them. It's a first step for Carpostal. If the project is a success, I think Carpostal will buy other vehicles. But it was important to start with a small fleet, to have a quick decision and to have a system running.
That's Raphael Jandra. He's CEO of the Swiss-based company Bestmile. He designed the technology to control the fleet of self-driving post buses that he hopes will soon take off across Switzerland. My colleague Veronica DeVore recently caught up with him and other startup founders trying to join the emerging market for driverless vehicles.
The stakes were high on the day I met Raphael in Geneva. He was there for a day of pitching his company to people who could provide them with free office space, free training, and free access to investors if he could beat out the competition. What do you tell investors when they ask, why should I invest in Bestmile?
So a lot of companies around the world are focusing on developing vehicles themselves, and we are focusing on developing a fleet management system. So it's like a control tower, but for optimizing remotely these kind of vehicles.
Let's say I'm riding in one of these autonomous vehicles, and I'm not doing anything, but there's all sorts of things happening around me. Where does your software play into that?
These vehicles are really smart, so they have a lot of sensors embedded. Technology, but it's not enough. If you want to have a fleet of vehicles, you need embedded technology, but you also need a tower control to manage the schedule, to manage the delay. When someone has a smartphone app, you have a system that decides which vehicle is doing what, and we are providing this. So we do not have any software inside the vehicle, but it's like a tower control. We are managing vehicles remotely.
So this would be then primarily right now anyway, for public transport, not necessarily for private autonomous vehicles. Is that right?
Yes, you are right. So now we are on the market with vehicles, autonomous buses for public transportation. Our goal is to have system runnings in private sites and city centers. But in a few years, we will deploy the same technology for autonomous cars, mainly for taxi and car sharing systems. And we are already in discussion with a lot of companies.
So then if it were, for example, uses a taxi service, there would be a central taxi dispatch that would use your technology to see where all the vehicles are and send them to places where people were calling them, essentially.
Exactly. So our system is sending the right mission to the right vehicle at the right time. And our clients are not passenger, but are taxi companies, public transport operators. So we are really B2B, a B2B company.
And you've said in the past, quite recently, in fact, that there is no equivalent out there to your technology, that it's really a first in the world of autonomous vehicles. Is that still the case?
Yes, it's still the case, because a lot of companies are really focusing on developing the perfect vehicle, and this is really nice because it helps the entire industry. But we are the only one with the software that can manage in a smart way a lot of vehicles and a lot of vehicles of different type and brands. So it's really important to be completely independent, because our clients want to have the freedom to have in the same fleet vehicle from different manufacturers, and so the manufacturers are not the company that can provide this kind of technology. You have to be independent. It's like Boeing and Airbus. If you look at airports, you do not have a control tower for Airbus and a second one for Boeing, and it will be the same with autonomous vehicles.
Raphael's company is one part of the driverless vehicle equation. If he has his way, someday in the near future, you could be standing on a corner late at night in need of a ride and open an app on your smartphone. You press a button, and a few minutes later, a bus or taxi without a driver would pull up in front of you and take you where you needed to go. But how would the bus see where it was going? That's where Claude Florin comes in. He's the CEO of Fasttree 3D, another Switzerland-based startup that makes high-tech cameras to be mounted on vehicles and let them see obstacles ahead. Here's his elevator pitch.
Well, we do a very fast 3D vision sensor that helps you see the environment around you. And that basically helps either save 30,000 lives from crash accident or make the next generation autonomous robots transportation that we need. So it's a game changer, basically. You need to give credit to the first companies that proved that it was possible. So we've all heard about the Google car with a sensor like Velodyne on the top. And that proved that essentially you can drive millions of kilometers or without a driver. So the next evolution was obviously to say, well, could you put it in a very cheap car and a very cheap device? And that's what we're doing. We're trying to use consumer electronics that are, you know, off the shelf, that you have, everybody's got them in your mobile phones, and achieve the same performance. And that's where we change the game. So basically, we try to do a $1 version of a $150,000 machine.
But the most important argument for his company might actually be something that happened to him a decade ago and changed his life forever.
I'd wish it existed 10 years ago when my own father died hit by a car 20 kilometers an hour on a pedestrian road in Geneva. And, simply the eyes of the drivers or the eyes of my father could not see at that speed in a gray, dark, bad illumination things. We were not built to neither run at 20 kilometers an hour or more. And so these are the limitations. And that's really what we're changing. And that's for the safety of the car. But of course, then you have these dreams that were those of the Google car for autonomous vehicles.
Switzerland is quite a densely populated place, with lots of pedestrians, cars, trams and buses sharing the roads in major cities. So accidents can happen. And drivers, robot or not, have to stay alert. Companies like Google have been testing driverless cars on motorways in the United States, where people drive long distances. But in Switzerland, most cars on motorways are just going a few miles, around cities or between suburbs. Switzerland's public transport system is also one of the best in the world, but it doesn't run too often in remote places. So the first driving robots could well be buses that run around the clock, or on demand, to move more people more efficiently. But will it take 5, 10, or even 20 years before that becomes a reality? Veronica put that question to the people supplying the technology.
Both entrepreneurs I spoke with think the robot car revolution is coming, but maybe not as fast as we might think or hope.
In 10 years, I think we will have a lot of them, at least for public transportation, taxi system, and car sharing services. I don't know if private people will be able to buy one of them because they will be, I think, quite expensive, at least at the beginning. But for mobility provider like car sharing, taxi or public transportation, we will have a lot of them. After, the question is not to know how many vehicles we will have in 10 years. I think we will have enough. But how many vehicles we will have in 2, 3, 4 years, this is a little bit more difficult to answer. Everything is going in a good direction. Everything is going faster and faster. But we don't have any clear number of vehicles for the next 3 years. And it's part of the risk in this kind of industry.
So what does it feel like when you're riding in one of these vehicles?
It could be strange the first minute. But after this, it's quite normal. So you don't have a driver, but I think you don't care. This is also why today this kind of vehicle are not going really fast. We are driving between 20 to 30 kilometers an hour. And at this speed, it's okay for people to not see a driver in the vehicle.
For his part, Claude thinks robotic cars will first be used in industrial settings before people buy them for normal use.
We believe that autonomous cars are somewhat later. Our short-term focus is either automatic guided vehicles in industrial setting, forklifts in supply chains, your personal service robots, and we also the vacuum cleaner, but you could think of small cart carrying things, and certainly the smaller urban vehicle in some well-defined places where we have some little lower-speed urban transport. That will happen faster, I think, and in the 2020. Our short-term focus is industrial autonomous vehicles or automotive safety. So rather than making a driverless car, let's make a safe car and avoid 30 to 50,000 deaths per year that could be really avoided. And among that, you know, another striking statistics, about 5,000 children killed more or less by their parents on parking lots. That should never happen with auto parking, for example.
I met Claude and Raphael at an event launching a Swiss hub for Mass Challenge, the world's largest startup accelerator. A startup accelerator helps companies find a network and investors so they can take their businesses to the next level.
So good afternoon. I'm presenting your company.
Later that evening, the pressure's on. Claude's company, the one with the cameras, is one of the startups invited to pitch in front of an overflowing crowd gathered at the Mass Challenge launch.
I'd like to say that if you support that project, you will help save 20,000 lives.
It's extremely difficult to sum up such complex technology in just a few minutes. Claude gets cut off right before he gets to the story about his father's accident.
Okay, one such life could have been saved 10 years ago.
Fast 300. Thank you very much. Okay. In the interest
thank
of fairness, I'm Ian Clicker. Thank you very much.
But he'll have plenty more chances to make his pitch in the months and years to come. Claude and Raphael's search for investors and markets will likely take them around the world. And they're not sure where they'll end up.
I've been involved in a few earlier companies and startup in Switzerland, and I think as long as you specialize and keep the focus on the technology transfer and the excellent transfer, Switzerland will certainly be a good place, despite the Swiss francs or the higher salaries, possibly. It's really an excellent place for that. Now, given that the market are worldwide, and I did mention China or United States, it does make sense to go where the market is or the customer.
In United States or in London, you can find investors that are okay to take some risk. In Switzerland, it's a little bit more difficult to take this kind of risk. If you are looking for a lot of money, it's quite sure you have to move in America or in London. Maybe not the entire company, but at least one part of the company has to be really close to your investor. We saw a lot of startups in the last few years doing this. It's not my goal. But if we have to do it because we have to find investors elsewhere, we will do it. Yeah, but we have to see. Maybe we are going to be able to find investors in Switzerland. It will be perfect. But I think we have to stay open, to stay flexible. And if the money is in America, we have to go in America.
Wherever the money and markets take him, Raphael does think he and other driverless car startups have managed to carve out a niche for Switzerland in this new field.
In Switzerland, we do not have any vehicle manufacturer, so it's not like France or Germany where you have a lot of car manufacturers. But in Switzerland, we are really good to set up and operate transport system, like CFF and all the public transportation authorities in Switzerland. So it's also important for Switzerland to have some startup and companies taking a part of this new industry and to provide what Switzerland can do the best.
When you mention the word autonomous car, autonomous vehicle, how do people react? Are they excited about it? Are they a bit apprehensive about what this could mean for them and the future of how they get around?
I think for a lot of people, it's still science fiction. But it's really coming faster and faster, and a lot of people will have the chance to use one of these vehicles in the next years. I think a lot of people don't really see the revolution coming, but we are in a good position, and we will see what we are going to do in the next years.
That was Swiss Info journalist Veronica DeVore speaking to the founders of Swiss startups getting in on the early days of the driverless car market. If you'd like to read more about Swiss startups and the future of robotic vehicles, visit swissinfo.ch for our in-depth articles. Thanks for listening. I'm Jo Fay, and this week's programme was produced by Veronica DeVore. Thanks to studio technician Ivan Steiner.